Stuff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.
Let's have a chat with Neil Atkinson from the Anfield Rap. Hello, Neil.
Hello, Steve.
Let's mix our next 10 minutes between a bit of Palace and a bit of Hoffenheim. So we'll start with Palace.
Yep.
We've got to start with Andy Robertson, haven't we? We've got an old-fashioned left-back back. Have we got someone we can relate to a little bit there?
I was most impressed with the bits when he looked like James Milner. So no. I thought that he puts the four great balls in first half, and the thing we knew he could cross the ball. That was one of the things that everyone said. He likes to cross and he can cross. But I was most pleased when he did sensible things and looked inside and looked to push inside, because there's a reason why we play that way. A lot of the time it's because we bring our wide forwards inside and they then go from there. And I think that he showed that he could do that, and that'll be as useful, if not more useful, than the whipping in of the balls. And the reason why is because at some sort of point, Liverpool don't play with a classic number nine. I think Firmino is a centre-forward, and I think it's important that he's referred to as a centre-forward. But Liverpool don't play with a classic number nine, and they weren't playing with one against Crystal Palace. So the balls were getting whipped in, and they were tantalising, but there was no one there. Whereas Liverpool do play with two wide forwards who look as though they're capable of scoring 20 goals. Mane's now 2-2 in the league. You can't argue with that. And Salah scores against... He gets one against Watford, and probably should get two or three against Watford, if we're all being honest and being sufficiently critical, really. If you can show greater composure in those wide areas, we probably would have pulled away against Watford and won the game relatively comfortably. They're the lads who are going to bang the ball in the back of the net. You know, Firmino might get himself 15-20 in the league, but he's not going to get them nodding in sort of 10. You get the odd header. He scores a great header against Swansea last season, but he's not going to nod in about 10. So I think having people arrive onto those balls is the thing for Liverpool to work on. But what I really liked was just his awareness, his touch, and looking up, going inside, looking to play little triangles, and all of that. That's the stuff which will define whether or not he's got a future for Jurgen Klopp. And also what happens when someone runs at him, which if he gets his start against Arsenal, you'd think would happen then. If he's asked to do some stuff going the other way. But it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't get his start against Arsenal, if this is his only game in the run of five. I think this might be his only game in the run of five.
And what's the thinking behind that?
I think you might see Milner go back in against Arsenal. I think against Arsenal you might see a lot of, can we just do what we did last season?
What, and Moreno tomorrow night?
And Moreno tomorrow night, yeah. I think that's what you might see.
Well, go on, give us the thinking behind Moreno against Hoffenheim.
I think the thing about Moreno against Hoffenheim will be that he'll be looking to look after still players' legs and all of that sort of stuff. So I think he might go with a very similar side to the one that played away at Hoffenheim, off the basis that they've got the information of having played against this side once, sort of in their legs and in their brains, and he likes footballers, Klopp, and he trusts their ability to make decisions. So it wouldn't surprise me if you see Moreno in what could still, I think, be his last ever Liverpool performance against Hoffenheim.
You think he might exit before the window
shuts?
I think
he might still exit before the window shuts.
Yeah?
Yeah. A lot of it's going to depend on what happens elsewhere for Liverpool, but I think the manager's got his plans, and I wonder, unless something's happened between Milner and Klopp, i.e. Milner's gone to Klopp and gone, I really don't think I can do a season at left back, and I don't think that would have happened, but I could be wrong. I still think there's every chance that the manager, if he can get the players in that he wants, he's still talking about adding another midfielder. If he adds another midfielder, it becomes difficult to see where James Milner's games come from in there. Even though I thought he did well at the weekend, and I think he's especially good as the game wears on, he has a good last half an hour. But it wouldn't surprise me if Liverpool go back to what was the original transfer plan of the ins and the outs, if they can get their hands on the midfielder that they desire.
I know I shouldn't feel like this, but I've almost become a little bit disillusioned with the idea that Liverpool will bring anyone else in this window. It's almost like the window's already shut.
Well, that's because the manager's demeanour, first and foremost. He gets the right to have his own demeanour. I think this is an important thing. I think just because I think he should add three more doesn't mean he should. It doesn't mean he should accept the three more that might be on offer to him. But he wants... He's very specific in the players that he wants. He doesn't seem prepared to particularly compromise in any area of the pitch. That's up to him. You know, he's got Liverpool to two cup finals in his first season and got them to fourth place last season and played some of the best football we've seen. Not played by Brendan Rodgers since 2009. So, you know, I think it's worth giving him, he gets the opportunity to go through it all again. I personally think he's not got enough players, and I think he's not got enough players for what happens come November onwards. And maybe that might become a reason why Moreno ends up staying, in that he might think, well, I want three options for left back and three options for right back, because I'm going to ask these lads to do a lot of running, and he might have that in mind. It might be that he thinks, well, I do need even if I bring a midfield option in, I still need another midfield option, and that could be Milner. I think it's all still up for grabs to some degree, but on the Moreno thing, I'm hugely sceptical that a lad turns his Liverpool career around who hadn't played a league game this calendar year, who only played, I think, 3 league games from the start, the entirety of last season, manages to go from there to being Liverpool's first choice left back. There is such a thing as having a decent pre-season, but that should not equal all of this. Now, I could be wrong, and as I say, the manager might have seen something. Armin might be in November, you might be saying to me, hey, remember when you said that you didn't fancy Moreno this season? And I'll be saying, I know, Steve, what do I know? He's been fantastic. But for me, it's too much, it's too Lazarus, as far as I'm concerned. It's not sort of last season where Emre Can's not getting many games and then come the end of the season, he's one of Liverpool's most important players. You always had felt that the manager liked Emre Can. There was a background to it. Moreno, he subs, and Moreno makes a terrible... He gets dragged in one final against Manchester City, and he subs him. And he's culpable for Liverpool's collapse in the second final. And then from there, as I say, he barely gets on the pitch for Liverpool. I don't know. I mean, as I say, I could be completely wrong. But when you're saying about nobody else comes in, I think that they will be doing business. I think everybody... There's barely a club who aren't still looking to do business. Even Mourinho, they've won 4-0 twice, and Mourinho saying he would have at least quite liked one more, which makes me think he will still be in for one more. Man City are supposedly still in for another centre-back. Mm. Chelsea's window has been terrible. I mean, genuinely terrible in terms of who's left the club. You can actually make a decent 11, and by decent, I mean an 11 that had finished top 10 in the Premier League of players that Chelsea have had leave the club, especially if you include Diego Costa in that way.
Although they looked tough the other day. They look like a team that were going to fight for the manager.
It's really important, this, and I think I've said this last week, but what's really important is that we act as though transfer windows are the be-all and end-all, and they're not. Spurs' transfer window last summer was really poor. They got Wanyama, who was useful, and Sissoko and Janssen, who really weren't useful at all. And they put 17 points on the previous season's performance and got 86 points.
Maybe that's why they've decided not to sign anyone in this window.
Yeah,
they
just brought one centre-half in.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a big thing, and I think it's an important thing. And the centre-half comes in, by the way, to free Eric Dier up to play more games at right-back because they've let Walker go. Mm. Don't get me wrong about this. I can say Chelsea have had a terrible window, and they could still go and win the league because they've still got a core of enough good players there, and they seem to thrive in adversity. But the point is, it's still been a bad window, and they will still be looking to add players. If you actually go through the... I ended up down a rabbit hole last night on the internet, which you've got to be careful about.
What does that mean?
Just like clicking things. And I ended up on all the Sky Bet odds for transfers, and it's ridiculous how many of them have Chelsea as favourites to buy a player. Not least because there's obviously enough gamblers out there and enough bookmakers sort of looking to back themselves up who are slashing the odds on Chelsea because they're looking at Chelsea going, well, they're going to buy 5 players. So even players I hadn't even seen they'd be linked to, the favourites to buy. I was like, that's wild. And there's lots of that going on. But the reason why is because everyone can look at it and think that they need 4 or 5 players. You're going right the way through it. I think it's going to be a mad last 10 days. It's sort of 10 days to go from today on all this.
And Liverpool will be involved in this.
Liverpool will be involved in this, I think. I'd have thought Liverpool
so
will be involved
in this. So players heading out. Just Moreno, anyone else?
Sacco, obviously.
Yeah.
Markovic is still knocking around. We've all forgotten about him.
It's amazing, that one, isn't it?
He's knocking... God knows what he's doing with his days. you know what I mean?
He's growing his hair.
Yeah, what's he doing with his days?
No idea.
How's he filling his time? I'm worried for him.
I think most people actually thought he'd left.
Yep, I think we all... Because there was rumours and everyone thought, well, that must have just got done. But no, he's still knocking around. And I think that will be it unless someone comes in with something wild for a player, which I don't see happening anywhere across the board. And yeah, I think that from there you end up in a situation where Liverpool will be looking to add. But again, they're not alone. There'll be clubs looking to add across Europe. It's all been very strange. There's been a lot of money slashed around this window and there's been lots of talk of transfers, but there's actually not been quite as many transfers as people think. And I do shows where I talk to supporters of other clubs. West Brom still need 5. A West Brom supporter, they've won the first 2, but a West Brom supporter I'm speaking to says we still need 5.
Especially if they sell Johnny Evans.
Yep. Newcastle still are of the view they need 2 or 3 minimum. You know, Benitez is quite clear that he needs more. Huddersfield are happy. They'd like a number 10. But apart from that, they're pretty relaxed, Huddersfield. But on the whole, genuinely going right the way up and down the league. Last night, Koeman, post-match report, wants another player. Makes it very clear he would like another player to come into Everton, and Everton have added 9. We're in a situation where there's been a couple of clubs who've done a lot of business. There's been a couple of clubs who look to have been quite structured in their business, and that includes Liverpool. And then there's been a lot of clubs who you think have been doing stuff and they just haven't. And that's what we're looking at now. That's genuinely what we're looking at. I think Liverpool are now in a situation where I think if he could get the right two or three more, he would be taking them. But it's whether or not he can get them. And we all know one of them is Virgil van Dijk.
Right, let's quickly look ahead to Hoffenheim. Do you love it when the Champions League music's played in Anfield?
Yeah, it's great.
I do.
Yeah, it's boss.
There's something really just sort of special about that. I don't know what it is, but it sort of touches me in a way that other things don't.
Yeah, no, I think it's what you're in it for, and it's what Liverpool are in it for, especially. So it'll be exciting tomorrow night against Hoffenheim. I don't think it'll be run-of-the-mill, and I think that that's almost Liverpool's problem, is that Hoffenheim have the same capacity, if not a greater capacity, to Liverpool to make it mad. And I think the ideal is that Liverpool get out with a pretty run-of-the-mill 2-0, and I don't think that Hoffenheim are going to let Liverpool do that. I think there's every chance Liverpool will win 4-1, but you can see a scenario where Hoffenheim do some unlikely things, like they did in the first leg. I don't think we've discussed enough how high those wing-backs were for Hoffenheim in that first leg, and the fact that they defended 3-on-3 against Mane, Salah and Firmino. In amongst a lot of the talk, and it's an interesting thing, but I said that on the radio last night, when was the last time you saw a footballer run with the ball at his feet with no one in front of him from the halfway line? What game did that happen in? That was something that used to happen a lot in 1990s football. The idea that happens in a Champions League qualifier, that a lad is put through from inside his own half in the first half when the score is 0-0. This isn't a counter-attack when one side's pushed up because they're 1-0 down with 3 minutes to go. That literally happened at 0-0 35 minutes. He runs with the ball from inside his own half with no one in front of him. Does not happen in football, and yet it did. And that's a marker as to how unconventional the Hoffenheim approach was and how unconventional that game was when we all came out of it afterwards and felt as though Liverpool both could have got beat 3-1 and should have won 3-0.
So you're thinking more fireworks?
I'm thinking more fireworks, yeah. I think there's no way both those sides don't find a way for there to be some degree of fireworks, which is a shame because that's what Liverpool don't want because they're the ones who are 2-1 up with two away goals.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.